We've been in Matthew chapter 13 for a while now. 2 weeks ago, we heard one of Jesus' most famous parables, the parable of the sower, about a sower who joyfully and generously casts seed onto every kind of soil. It's an image, of course, of a gracious God whose love and whose mercy come to each of us, no matter what. There's a warning, for sure, about thorns and rocky ground and birds that snatch away the seed, but there's also promise that when we're open, when we're good soil, the seed of God's word can take root and can grow in us, and our faith can bear fruit, abundant fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Last week, we had the parable of the wheat and the weeds, also in Matthew 13. Standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee are a crowd, and Jesus is in a boat just off the shore, with verdant fields of wheat in every direction and gorgeous olive trees as far as the eye could see. Jesus again reaches for an agricultural metaphor to speak about God's mercy. Wheat and weeds grow up together in the same field, he reminds us, inside each of us. There's warning here too. Don't be too quick to judge, to go weeding other people's yards. But there's also promise. God is merciful. God is patient. God does not rip up the weeds, but rather is patient and merciful with us as we tend the wheat and tackle our own weeds. We're still in Matthew 13 this morning, and Jesus is still looking around from that boat at the stuff of life, the very objects and realities that the crowd before him knows well, to teach them about what the kingdom of God might be like. But Jesus is picking up the pace. Maybe like our 8 o'clock congregation this morning, he's sitting in the bright sun and the temperature is rising and he knows he needs to get on with it. Maybe he knows that some of us just react better to vivid images than long, drawn-out stories. But for whatever the reason, Jesus picks up the pace. He starts throwing out image after image, parable after parable, much shorter than before. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seed that grows into the greatest of shrubs. It's like a batch of yeast mixed in to leaven the loaf. It's like treasure in a field. It's like a pearl of great price. It's like a net sweeping along the bottom of the seabed, catching fish of every kind. You can almost see Jesus pointing in every direction to the things around him and saying, slow down, pay attention. These small, ordinary, familiar things all around you can show you the way. God doesn't just show up in the grand moments. As Elijah learned so many years before, God isn't simply in the whirlwind or the earthquake or the fire. Sometimes God speaks with a still, small voice, faint as a whisper. If only we would slow down and listen. If only we would slow down and take the time to notice. The Welsh poet R.S. Thomas captures this idea perfectly, I think, in his poem, one of my favorites of his, entitled The Bright Field. I've seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while and gone my way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price. The one field that had treasure in it, I realize now that I must give all that I have to possess it. Life is not hurrying on to a receding future, nor hankering after an imagined past. It is the turning aside like Moses to the miracle of that lit bush, to a brightness that seemed as transitory as your youth once, but is the eternity that awaits you. God is always trying to get our attention. God, the sower, is always casting out the seed of God's word. It's we who fail to stop and to notice. We who fail to turn aside to see the burning bush of God's presence with us in all things and at all times. I really hope that one of the lessons we remember from this time of quarantine and self-isolation is that our addiction to busyness is not good for us. We were made to rest in God. And we need to take time. We need to take time to slow down and learn just to be with God, with one another, and with ourselves. But notice, too, the things Jesus points the crowd to, those objects of ordinary life that he calls their attention to from the boat. On the one hand, they're completely ordinary, the familiar stuff of life. But on the other, they are surprising objects to teach us something about God. We don't have time to go through each one this morning, but my favorite is the mustard seed. Part of the surprise, of course, is baked into the story. Jesus is reaching for an image that will describe the great and glorious reign of God, and he chooses a teeny tiny seed. As metaphors go, it's surprising. But if you know anything about mustard, it's more surprising. Because, my friends, mustard is a weed, a sturdy, fast-growing, hard to get rid of, impossible to contain weed that no farmer in his right mind would possibly plant in a garden. Our Lord is getting a little playful here. In the same chapter in which he speaks of wheat and weeds, he compares the kingdom of God to a weed, to a plant that grows and grows and grows and never stays where you plant it. With a twinkle in his eye, our Lord says, the reign of God is a little like that. God in your life is a little like that. It may start small, but it grows. In fact, it rarely stays in its place. It can get a little unruly. It can cross some boundaries that we'd rather it not cross, invade into parts of our lives that we'd rather keep walled off and separate. In fact, God at work in our life has the potential to take over and to disrupt and to change everything. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, our Lord tells us with a twinkle in his eye. And I bet a few of the people on that grass had a smile as he said it. But when he goes on to call mustard the greatest of all shrubs, you see, that's when it's just getting ridiculous. Because mustard isn't impressive. And the phrase greatest of all shrubs just sounds absurd. And yet Jesus reminds us that our God seems to take delight in upending our expectations. And God seems to do it in ways and through people that often seem pretty small, pretty ordinary. After all, a child born to an unwed mother on the edge of the Roman world seems pretty small and ordinary. A rabbi with 12 followers seems pretty small and ordinary. A little bit of bread and wine seems pretty small and ordinary. And yet, like mustard, when God gets involved, when God shows up, it can change everything. The smallest of seeds can become a home for birds of the air to find rest and to make their home. A small movement birthed in first century Palestine can become a global family of believers who seek 2,000 years later to walk in Jesus' way of self-offering love. Even the small things we have to offer, the gifts of time and talent and treasure that you and I can offer with God's help and by God's grace, can bear fruit and grow and develop in ways that might seem hard to imagine. This week we learned of the death of Gene Sherman, a former parishioner of St. Luke's who helped found Person to Person back in 1968. If you've been around St. Luke's much, then you likely know some of the story, how in the aftermath of Dr. King's assassination, the rector at the time, Bob Back, decided that St. Luke's needed to better understand and better engage with the realities of race and of poverty in America, needed to better understand and better engage with the realities of its neighbors. So he called Jean, and he asked her if she might like to be involved. In fact, if she might be willing to become the executive director of some new thing. Together, they started a series of weekly dialogues to listen and to learn and then to begin to respond. We know P2P to be a mighty force for good in this part of Connecticut, but it started small with an idea, a phone call, and a yes. That small seed became a great shrub in which all sorts of birds of the air find their rest, find their needs met, find their dignity honored right here on our campus. And none of it would have happened if it weren't for Jean Sherman. The kingdom of God, my friends, is as vibrant and beautiful and wild and uncontained as anything we could ask or imagine. God's love is at work in ways beyond how we could imagine it. God's kingdom isn't a project of our own devising. It's not something we can control or manage, but when we offer ourselves to it, when we turn aside and make the space and dedicate the time and invest ourselves in it, God blesses us richly. For the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, the life of Jesus shows us, that small acts of faith and hope and love have the power to disrupt the world as it is and to reveal the world that God would yet have be. May that be our work, yours and mine, our work as St. Luke's, to turn aside, to listen, to pray for what God would have us do, and then to act, offering ourselves, our souls and bodies, offering our minds and our imaginations and our wills and our pocketbooks and our hands to what God would have us do. For when we do, we'll be part of that great kingdom, spreading like a weed, leavening the loaf, discovering the pearl of great price, and getting swept up in that net by the one whose love knows no bounds and whose grace can make us and all things new. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.